Let's pray it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning we are coming to look at a phrase, one of the last phrases that Jesus put in this prayer for us. And I just want to let you know, I know you guys don't see this, but I ended up with 8 pages of typed notes on the one line, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, this week. 8 pages of notes on that one little phrase there. And it's really exciting, and we're going to take a bit of a journey today. But there's a gentleman who I ran into as I was doing my research, Paul Thigpen, and I just want to give him some credit because he had some wonderful, amazing thoughts on this line. But thank you for saying that prayer with me. And I trust that you've seen in the last few weeks that Jesus may have taught us this prayer, and we call it the Lord's Prayer, as he taught us this model, but really, this is our prayer. It was from Jesus to us, for us to take to heart and make use of. And it certainly is a very full prayer. I mean, after the amazing beginning of us being told to call God Father, and then focus in on who he is, his holiness, the wonder of who he is. We're told then to pray and ask for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on this side of eternity in our lives. And then the focus comes to us. And this is from the NIV. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And I mentioned last week that these 3 lines, they're all joined together. And we need to come to God daily for that which will sustain us for life. And we need to keep short accounts with our God on those things that we have done, the disobedience we have done, but also we need to keep short accounts with those in our lives. Because if we don't, that unforgiveness will lead us to bitterness, and it is going to mess us over, and it's going to create disunity and pain in the lives of the people that we love the most. And then we arrive at the last phrase as it applies to us. And like the other phrases, there is a depth to it that we need to explore so the fullness of this prayer might make a difference in our life. As we take this old path of prayer so that we might encounter new power for life. So let's pray, and we're going to head into the message. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for Jasmine and the leadership her team has given us as we have worshiped you. Now, Lord Jesus, I pray. I pray you forgive me my sins, and you'd cleanse me, and Holy Spirit, please come now and fill me up. And Lord, I would ask, and I would pray, Lord, that my family here, Lord, that their ears and their hearts would be open to what you have to say to them. Lord, I thank you for the fact that we are so blessed. We live in your grace and in your mercy. And Lord, you love us so very much. And Father, as we go through this message today, I pray that there would be this umbrella here that we might understand your mercy and your grace, even as we talk about this very important verse. Jesus, I ask this in your name, so please come. Amen. Matthew 6:13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, for those of you who may be like me, who grew up saying this at school, or even most Sundays in church, there may be an understanding of the meaning of those 2 phrases. But if you just look at it, you might think, I think we have a problem here. we have a problem here that needs to be addressed. The prayer we're offering up is to God the Father, and it looks like we're asking God not to lead us into temptation. Why would a holy God ever do that? Put a temptation to sin in our way. And you may be feeling some tension right now because of this. And so let me put your mind at ease. No, God does not tempt us to sin. James, who was the half-brother to Jesus, tells us in James 1, 13 and 15, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. And then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. And I read that verse, and I think, yep, I can do bad all by myself. There it is. Because there is a sin nature that is ingrained in me, that is pulling me towards what is disobedience towards God. Because I want to be in charge. I want to be my own boss. In fact, when you really dig down deep, I want to be God. And that sin nature is not unique just to Scott Finnamore. It shows up in each and every one of us. And we literally come into the world with it present there. You know, Bonnie and I, we never needed to teach our kids to be bad. We never needed to teach them to disobey. I remember well, and some of you know this story, I remember well walking in to one of our daughter's rooms. I think she was like 3-ish years old at the time. And she was not allowed to touch the toothpaste because she had a toothpaste fetish. And I heard her up in her room one night, and so I went into her room to see what she was doing. She was supposed to be in bed. She wasn't. And as I opened the door, I caught her out of bed, and there she was. And she had toothpaste all over her face. And I said, sweetie, have you been in the toothpaste? No, Daddy. No. And I said to her, are you sure you haven't been playing with the toothpaste? Yes, Daddy. Yes. My sweet little girl, lying to my face. And we had not taught her to lie. She figured it out all by herself at 3 years old. And in that moment, I said, come with me. Let's go look in the mirror in the bathroom. And so she walked into the bathroom thinking, ha, I got away with this. And then she saw herself and started to cry. It was actually kind of awesome. Because she knew she was in trouble. She knew it. And she was busted. And there it was. The sin nature. Right there. In my kids. And I would like to say they got it from their mother. But I know that's not true. Because we all come into the world with it. I have it in me. You have it in you. The sin nature. Ephesians 2, 1 and 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. And of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. See, this is where we all come from. All of us at one time were living the me life, wanting to call the shots, acting on what we thought would bring us happiness and pleasure. And maybe for a moment, we actually had that. We had happiness. We had a sense of pleasure in our life. But then comes the mess of consequences that comes with sin. And we can sure feel it in our lives. And it makes our lives so very difficult at times. Because the sin nature is seeking to mess us over, and it's inside of us. But God. But God. We know the love that we have for Him is because He first loved us. He loved us in our messed up state. God loves you. And God loves me. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Undeserved merit. And God's love and His willingness to act in our lives, that is so awesome. And one of the many wonderful benefits of giving our lives to Jesus, of accepting Him as our Lord and our Savior, is that we are not on our own any longer in this battle we face daily with our sin nature. God gave us His Holy Spirit to call on and to lean into when sin tries to get a grip on us. And we can feel, I mean, we can literally feel that sin nature inside of us at times, warring against us. Seriously, I think it's why at the front end of the Lord's Prayer, we ask for God's kingdom to come and His will to be done. And remember where God's kingdom resides in these days? It's in us. It is in us. And doing life to honor God, it is not easy. It is not easy. But it is the good. It's the good way. It's the best way. And it does not saddle you with the consequences that sin leads to. And so the phrase, lead us not into temptation. So what are we praying for? Well, what is that word that we have translated into temptation? What does it mean? I mean, maybe if we knew the bigger sense of what it means, it would help us understand this passage better. Now, the Greek word is peirasmos. Peirasmos. That's the Greek word. And it's translated different ways. Temptation is one. The other way shows up in James 1, 2, and 3, where we read, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. The same Greek word is also translated trials in its verb form in James. In other places, it shows up as test. Now, back in the early days of our own English language, the word temptation had overtones of going through difficult times. Today, however, the primary understanding of temptation is enticement to sin. And God would never entice us to sin. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. That comes from within us. Now, other places of temptation, they're all around us. We all know this. And one of them is the world that we're living in. Temptation comes from this world, a temptation to live contrary to God's way. 1 John 2, 15 and 16, it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away. But the man or the woman who does the will of God lives forever. So we have the flesh, the sin nature inside of us. We have the world, but there's also the evil one. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So trials come upon us. And testing comes upon us. And temptations come upon us. And there are so many trials that are connected to sin of some kind. Like we're going through a difficult time. And it might even be a painful time in our life. And there is a temptation to take an easy way out. To compromise. Take a compromising way out by taking a shortcut around the pain or the difficulty rather than trusting God and doing it His way. Or there's something that you want. And in and of itself, it's not bad, but the timing is way off. I want to give you an example of this one this morning. And this, for me as a pastor, this makes me sad. Because there are today what people might call sins of convenience. And they're on the rise, definitely all over the place in the world. But they're in the church too. A good, godly man, and none of you know this man. Just so I'm putting it out there right now, none of you know who this person is. Said of his Christian daughter, as she was moving in with her boyfriend, he said, "Well, I guess that is just the way they do it today." And let me tell you this, he said that with intense frustration, because that was not how he and his wife raised her. But moving in together before marriage is very prevalent in the world that we live in today. Well, why do it? Why do it? Well, so they could save money. As if that's a good reason to walk in disobedience to God. Well, it will be more convenient. We'll combine our households and it'll be good. And a sin of convenience. But also, so that you'd have the benefits of marriage, sex, and companionship without the commitment. But also in this instance that I'm sharing about, she was desperately afraid of losing this guy and being alone. And her trust in God went out the window as the trial and temptation came upon her. And that situation ended really badly for this young lady. As a guy left her with a lot of hurt inside of a year. Now, he was a goof. Actually, he was a jerk. But she was foolish. And had she said no to moving in, I am pretty confident he would have left her anyway. And it would have been hard. But she would have saved herself a world of pain. Now, I got to tell you, because knowing the story, God's grace has been so evident in this young lady's life. And after that event took place and the pain that she was going through, her mom and dad, oh my goodness, they were like Jesus to her. They accepted her. They loved on her. And God's grace just fell on her to bring healing out of this situation that she had gotten herself into. And I'll tell you this morning, this one, and the whole reason I even share this is hitting closer and closer to home. Because in our extended family, I have someone who's a niece who's going down this path. And it's soul-crushing because I know her mom and dad have taught her that she's making a choice. And it's so difficult to watch this because sin touches all of her families in different ways. And we're loving her. She actually asked our opinion. She got a, woo, did she ever get a lot of our opinion in a very loving way. She asked for the truth and we gave it to her and I sent the same letter to all of our own kids, so they would understand exactly why. We said, this is not wise for you to do. And we, honestly, we keep on loving her. And because I think in the future, there could be great pain. I kind of feel confident there will be. And we'll keep loving her and caring for her and we will become channels of God's grace and mercy. It's hard, though. It's hard. Going back to the prayer, and lead us not into temptation. We know that God would never tempt us, but could he lead us to a place where temptation would be present? The answer here is yes. Yes, he could. That may well happen. And why would I say that? Because he did it to Jesus. He did it to Jesus. Matthew 4:1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Why would God do that? Certainly not to entice Jesus to sin. So here's the thought. It looks like in the face of a temptation or a trial, that these things, they can be used of God redemptively for our good. And they can bring glory to God. But how would that ever take place? How would that ever take place? Well, temptations, trials reveal what is in our heart. And it can be a test of our character. And I don't know about you, but I never liked tests. I never did, especially in school. But they sure were good at revealing what you have actually learned in class. Especially when you hit college and university. Because if you have not been faithful in the topic at hand, they will not let you move forward to what comes next. You have to go back and do the class again. And maybe I'm talking from experience. Temptations, trials, are a test for the heart. And what you discover there, in them, and through them will give you insights about where you are at with the Lord. And yes, there are times when you fail that test, that temptation comes upon you, that it might lead, and it will lead to guilt, but also repentance. Or it could lead you to an experience of trust in God to get you through when those things come, when those trials and temptations come upon you. Let's look at a few examples. Abraham, Genesis 22, 1-18, was tested when he was asked to sacrifice Isaac, the promised child, the child that represented the future, the son that he loved. And Abraham resisted the temptation to disobey God and took his son to sacrifice him. That was never God's plan. For that to happen. But he did not hold his son back. God stopped him, provided a ram to be sacrificed, and then he also encouraged Abraham's faithfulness and his willingness to hold nothing back from God. When David saw Bathsheba bathing on that rooftop, he was tempted. 2 Samuel 11. And it revealed that lust was ruling his heart as he committed adultery and eventually murder. But down the road, he was repulsed by what he saw within himself. And he repented, showing he had a desire to live for God, even as he faced the consequences of that choice. And that choice affected the rest of his rule as king. It tainted everything. King Saul also faced temptations. And as he sinned, it just revealed how messed up he really was. Selfishness, jealousy, and anger were running wild in his life. And he was removed as king. Also, temptations and trials, they can bring us to a crossroads in our life where we need to make a choice that brings clarity to an important or significant issue in our life. See, this happened with Jesus when he was tempted by Satan in the desert. He was tempted to be self-determined. You're hungry, make bread for yourself so you can fill yourself up. To not trust his father, that he should just use his power to make bread. or when Satan asked him to bow down and worship him. And if he did, he would give him the earthly powers that he had, the kingdoms of the world, and he would not have to go through all the pain and suffering of God's plan. And Jesus resisted the devil and sent him packing. That temptation was a crossroads. Other times when we face temptation or a trial, it can fortify our will to stay tight with God. But giving in to sin can lead us to weakness. As that sin or that vice gets a grip on us. And when we resist, when we choose to live in a way to honor God, we get stronger. And giving in makes us weaker. Not giving in, trusting the Lord, going with His strength makes us stronger, just like lifting weights. We get stronger and stronger spiritually in our walk. One last reason that we can face a trial or temptation, that God might lead us there, is so that we can be an example to others of God sustaining us through life as we receive from Him daily that which we need to do life. And we live our lives in a way to honor God. And actually, as we honor God, we're actually honoring ourselves as well. And let me tell you, there are people always watching us. As soon as they find out that we're a Christian, we start talking that way, they're looking at us. Okay, you realize that? And they're going to see us go through trials. They're going to see us face some temptations. And they're going to watch what we do and how we react. And there are times, and there are times that the watching world, the people in our lives, are going to watch us, and as we lean into Jesus, as we do life with Him, as we seek to honor Him, do you know what? They're going to look at us, and they will not be able to explain us. They're like, I don't get how that person operates. Look what he went through. This is how he acted. I would never have acted that way. I might have sought revenge, or I may have done this, or I would have just given in to that temptation. But no, they can't explain us. And it's in those times that we keep pointing to God and to Jesus. That's why I live like this. That's why I had the strength not to give in to that. It's the Lord in my life. And let me tell you, when we live that way, man, we really frustrate the evil one. We tick him off. And that's a good thing. So after all that, seeing that that there are these benefits as we face down temptation and go through trials in the power of the Holy Spirit within us, there's still a big question mark here. Because Jesus says we are to pray and lead us not into temptation, into trials. And James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So James is telling us to consider it pure joy when we go through trials and tests. Jesus is telling us to ask God not to lead us to those places. Are they good? Are they bad? What's going on here? Okay, so James never tells us to ask for trials. There's just an assumption they're going to come on us. You don't have to do life very long to realize, yes, they will come on you. Storms of life come. But through this message, I trust that you have seen that temptations, trials, tests are revealing what is happening in here. What is happening in our hearts. And here's the thing. I never want to presume I'm up for the test. I have never said to God, Lord, bring it on. I'm ready for the tests. I'm ready for the trials and those temptations. Bring them my way because I know I'm ready. I got this, God. I have never prayed that because that is the dumbest prayer request ever. Why? Because I recognize my limitations. I recognize how weak I really am. And when it comes to doing life in a God-honoring way, in obedience to Him, that's my heart's desire, yet I know I'm weak. It's what I want to do all the time, but it's a struggle. When you put these two phrases together that Jesus taught us, it's revealing. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There is another word that we could put in place of deliver. The word is rescue. Rescue us. Every day, Heavenly Father, I need you to rescue me. And please don't lead me to that place of testing because I am weak. See, this is a prayer of humility. This is a prayer of humility. Lead us not into temptation is a confession of our weakness, of our dependence on our Heavenly Father, who we need to rescue us. We need Him to rescue us. Like all of you, I face temptations every day. I have gone through trials. And James is right. I mean, he really is. He's so right. They can and they will produce within you perseverance and other wonderful character qualities in our lives if we're leaning into God to get us through. I lean into God because I know I cannot overcome without Him. Can I say that again? I lean into God because I know I cannot overcome without Him. And He has shown Himself faithful again and again and again and again through all my years that He has blessed me with on this side of eternity. He has been faithful. And I know I'm weak, but my Father, my Father, He is strong. And He can handle anything. And His strength, hear me in this, His strength becomes mine as I am leaning into Him, as I am trusting in Him and His ways, not leaning on what I think is best, not leaning on what the world tells me is best and good, but leaning into the Lord God who tells me and shows me what is best and good. And He has taken me and He has taken Bonnie and our family through trials and storms. And I have confidence, not in me, but in my Father, to continue to take me, to take us through the storms. Because on this side of eternity, there's a lot of storms. And we need to learn to trust our Heavenly Father, to trust Jesus, and lean into His wisdom. I certainly don't want temptation or trials to come on me. And Jesus told us to pray they would stay away. But in the same breath, He said we need to ask our Father to deliver us, to rescue us. And He will. He will. And He'll give us what we need when we lean into Him. This prayer is a prayer of humility and dependence on God. That is what this is. Give us today our daily bread, that which will sustain us to do life. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins. We talked about this last week, how immense they are before a holy, holy, holy God. And as He forgives us, we are to forgive those who've sinned against us. So that bitterness never gets a hold of us and we don't go down that road of missing the grace of God and seeing that bitter root grow up and defile many. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, rescue us from the evil one. Because we're done without God. We can't do it. If you think that you have such a solid will, you can resist, oh, my friends, I'm sorry. Be careful, you who thinks he stands, at least he falls. We need to understand how weak we really are. And our strength, it's right there. It's in Christ. It's in our Father. And we come to him, and we ask him for his help every step of the way. Because he wants to give it to us. Because he is a good, good Father, and he loves you. And he wants your life to shine bright. And it can, and it will. And if you've made mistakes in the past, oh my goodness, his grace, his mercy is all over the place. But today, determine, Lord God, I am going to honor you with my life and all that I do. I want to shine for you, Jesus. I want to do life your way. I don't want to experience the consequences of sin. I want to experience what comes from living life the way you want me to. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you for this prayer that you taught to the disciples that was for them and is for us. And God, today I pray. I pray for all of us here, Lord. I pray for myself, Lord, that you would help us in ever-increasing ways to understand we need to lean into you. And we need to call on you. Lord Jesus, when a temptation is getting a grip on us, I pray for my family today that they might cry out, not internally, but externally, Lord. They would cry out, Jesus, help me. They would get you involved in that moment in the face of that temptation. And when trials hit our lives, when storms come, Lord, that we will just every single day start our days with Abba, I belong to you. Father, I belong to you. Help me through this day. May your strength be my strength. Encourage my heart, Jesus. Encourage my heart, Lord God. And let me experience you because I cannot do it on my own. Oh, Father, I pray those are our requests. They're going to you. And I pray, Lord, that is the way we want to do life. So, Father, I pray, even this coming week, might we encounter you in such a powerful way as we spend time with you. May we engage with you in such a way that your strength flows to us. And may you be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.